Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Good morning. Good morning. I was like, man, I don't always have to be the first one to say good morning, so I'm just going to like give someone else a chance at the first word. How's that? So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for just your peace and your mercy and your grace and always being faithful. And we give you the praise. Holy Spirit, speak through me this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. So I want to thank you guys, first of all, for all you guys are and all you guys do, for your support of the rodeo last week and the Cowboy Church up there in Darrington and the Timber Bowl Rodeo. Couldn't do it without you, literally. We couldn't have done that part without you. And it's a great blessing to be a part of that community. And I know that it's very appreciated. So that rodeo is a really big deal to that entire area. There's, I don't even know how many people. There's thousands of people literally come through. And they don't just spend money when they come through at the rodeo. They spend money in town. And they bless that town and they bless that community and they bless everybody that's coming up the road. And so it's a tangible way to be a blessing to the people we're ministering to. And that's the big part because of your guys' help. So thank you. From the bottom of my heart. We actually did Cowboy Church in the grandstands. Oh, Wayne and Therese, Pastor Wayne and Therese, they did our music for us and did a great job. Thank you guys and Wayne and of course Therese there always volunteered too. And we had a whole crew out there running around and I got to sit in the hospitality tent and look pretty. My job's pretty easy there, you know? So my job is to show up and look pretty, you know, and hand out cookies and donuts, right? And in between, I can eat some of those said cookies and donuts. They had some fruit, too. I ate some fruit. Usually, I don't eat plants because plants are trying to kill you, right? So like, I worry about anything that can't run from me or fight back. All they can do is, like, put out toxins. So I was like, you know what? Plants, I don't trust plants, right? So there is a 0% chance I will ever be a vegan, right? And so no offense if you're called to be a vegan. If you like to eat things that are trying to kill you, knock yourself out. But it's great to see what God does when you just trust Him. And when you get out there with no, like one of the things I've learned from horses is horses can feel your intentions. Like they can feel your heartbeat from 4 feet away. And so if you're worked up and you're trying to go to that horse is like, what's wrong? Like, what's going on? And you're like, calm down. Everything's okay. And they're like, you're the leader and you're not okay. But like, why would I trust you? Why would I follow you, right? And then the horse goes off and it's like, you know what? I don't trust you no more. Because if you don't trust yourself, how am I going to trust you, right? And so people feel intentions too. And so they can tell, like if you're just doing something because you want something from them or because you want the show of it or because of any other reason except for the fact that you love them, you can feel that, right? You can see that coming a mile away, right? I know my kids love me, but I knew when they want something, right? They didn't have to be they could be way more than 4 feet away, and I see them coming. And you know what? I never was like, oh, man, those sorry kids, you know? I can't believe they don't just go get a job. I mean, she's 4 already, or he's 5, you know? I didn't do that. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, I get to be daddy. I get to do something good for him, right? And I get to love him. But when we're going out to the world, we get to be the father. We get to be Jesus to the world. And show them that we actually love them. And we don't want nothing from them. We just want to love them and support them and be there for them. And the results are none of our business. they belong to God. Our job is always to love. And God keeps reminding me that in my own life, right? It is when I'm out around people, like we always want to get these great results with people. And we're always looking for these great results. And we forget that it's not about us getting the result. It's about us being Jesus to someone. It's Him who lives and moves and has His being, right? And if we allow ourselves to walk in who we are in Him, then that gives us the chance to love on people, and then He can produce the results through that, which I want to see people free, right? We're just coming through. Wow, we've had a lot happening in the last couple of weeks, right? We done went through, what's that holiday we just celebrated? The 4th of July, right? Independence Day, right? And I love this because really it's used to be independence. How do you spell it? There you go. You can read that, good luck. But if we're not careful, it can turn into that we become independence. Independent. I can't spell today. I graduated third grade spelling. This is dependent. Okay, so independence, right? It's hey, we're independent. We are free, right? But if we're not careful, we have a country that's built on independence, but if you're not careful and you put your dependence on something else, for instance, the government, or your job, or anything else, your spouse, whatever, maybe a substance, you become dependent on something else. And so you're not really independent, but you've come independent of something else. And I want to be totally dependent on God. And my true independence comes in dependence of Him and of what He wants to do in my life and of who He is in my life, and of how He moves in my life, and of my relationship with Him in my life. My true independence only comes in dependence of Him. I depend on His grace. I depend on His mercy. I depend on the finished work that Jesus completed on the cross when He said, "It is finished." And I depend, because of that finished work, that all of His blessings are yes and maybe if you do everything right. No, that's not right. Am I at the right church? I think so. It's yes and amen in who? In Christ Jesus, right? All His promises are yes and amen. So He's telling me, not because of me doing something, right? But it's because of Him doing that. And in that, I find independence on that. Don't you love my tongue twisters? I can't spell it, apparently, this morning, right? But I can twist it all up, right? With my talk, I was like a calf roper here. You're like, you know what? This is about as exciting as a rattlesnake at a square dance. You know? So about as welcome too, right? But the truth is we find ourselves, when we're truly dependent on Him, is where we find our real freedom. And it's not a dependence on the things that are outside of us, but it's a dependence on who He is inside us. The Bible says in Him, right, we live. In Him, we move. In Him, we have our being. Now, when you go to fill out these little things called tax forms, right? I know we got some financial wizards and accountants and woo-woo people with numbers, right, in this church, right? Really good with it, right? So I got an accountant that I depend on for that kind of stuff, right? But one of the things they ask you is like how many dependents do you have? Right? And so I wonder if they ever ask God that. How many dependents do you have, God? All of them. Right? And if we as people have a responsibility of that sort, how much more does our Father in heaven have a responsibility to us? And how much more does he want to operate in that? Remember the prodigal son? You know, he took his inheritance. He said, I'm out of here, Dad. I'm going to party. He's like, well, it's yours. I freely give this to you. It's yours. You can do whatever you want with it. And he went and he squandered it all. You know, he was driving Paganis and Lyras and crashing the cars and, you know, going to Dubai and Monaco and getting yachts and partying with all these people, right? Crashed the yacht. I've actually crashed the boat too, so I feel him there. So, but actually, I crashed the boat. My friend, he was pretty cool dude, man. He was a former Marine. He was CID and bad dude. But he had a bus, and I went with him, and we got it stuck and almost crashed it. And then we had this big old boat. It's like 110 feet. And it's called the Columbia, right? Which I remember there's a space shuttle called that too. And it didn't fare well for that either. God bless everybody in that, right? But I was like, I seen the name on that. And I was like, maybe I don't want to ride on this boat. He's like, well, you drive. I'm from Oklahoma, right? In our lakes, we don't have tides, right? And so when we went out, there was no rocks out in the middle of the water. But when we're coming back, he's like, why don't you drive? And I'm driving. I'm like, look at those whales popping up out of the water. What are those? And then I look up in front of me, and there's rocks. And I hit those rocks going full speed. We went up in the air, and I was on the top of this thing. And it went up in the air like this, comes over, and I could smell and feel the water. And then it comes back up and stops. And I hear him yelling, what happened? What did you hit? I was like, I think I hit a whale. You know, I like the rock. He goes, that's a rock. And so we're trapped there. Call the Coast Guard. They won't even get on the boat with us. Right? They're like, no, you guys stay right there. If you want off, we'll take you off. But like, so we had to call someone to tow us off, and we made it back. It was drivable, believe it or not. Those steel hulls are tough. Right, and he actually had me drive it back. Like, he was not a very smart guy, right? But we get back to his house, and he's telling his wife, goes, yeah, we got the bus stuck. And he goes, and then James wrecked our boat. He's like, almost killed us. She looks at him, because I was her farrier, and she's like, you know what? The bus, I ain't ever riding in that thing. And that boat, I hate. He's like, I don't care if you sink that thing, right? But she said, if you kill my farrier, don't come home. And I was like, I might be more valuable, right? And so it made me think, right? Oh, yeah, look at me. You know, I'm really, really valuable, right? Then he bought a helicopter. And I was like, you know what, buddy? I love you, but I ain't riding with you in that thing, right? So I was like, I was done, like, leaving the ground. I was like, already had enough, right? But what we find is that we're in dependence of God, and we can trust him and know that he is with us and for us, and that he loves us, and that he will be with us every step of the way. And we learn that by depending on him, depending on his grace, depending on his mercy. Even when we mess up, he still loves us. Let me make it easy on you. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. Most of you, before you even get out of bed, you're going to make mistakes. Because you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, I got to go listen to Pastor James. And, you know, he's so good looking, but man, he just preaches on and on and on and on, right? And so, okay, maybe not. Right, you guys get what I'm saying? We all make mistakes. It's not about us being perfect. And you know what? God figured all our stupidity in a long time ago, before he ever created us. He said, before you were born, he knew you. He knew. It's like one of the joys of training horses is like you get to see them progress, right? And it's not always, like sometimes it's a lifetime with that horse. That horse grows and you grow with that horse, right? But that horse, when it's moving its feet, as long as it's moving its feet, you can do something with it. When it soles up and won't move, you ain't going nowhere, right? Maybe the horse is tired because he's been trying to step in the right place and you're mad at him because he's not stepping where you want. So some people thump on him and jerk all the forward motion out of him and don't want to do anything with him. Or maybe the horse is just like so afraid, I don't want to go, right? Or he's mad. Like stud horses, they used to get mad and they would sole up. That's what they'd do. They'd bow up. And so you had to find a different way. I've seen people kick and kick and kick on them, and they're like, yep, not going. And then you go tie them up, and 5 minutes later, the stud's like, okay, what are we going to do, right? Where you get a mare like that, she'll kick you like 3 months later just to get back at you, right? So you had to kind of be a little bit, know what you're working with, right? And so what am I trying to say? So it's really about, are we going to trust God? Are we going to know that we can move in him, that we can live in him? And it's not about always being perfect, but are we moving forward? Are we willing to try? Are we willing to seek him? Are we willing to move with him in us, right? Not trying to reach him on the outside, right? But him inside of us. Yet that's the hope of glory, right? Christ in us. So I'm in John. I'm going to go with John chapter 8, verse 31. And so I love this. I'm a little late on Independence Day, but in full dependence on the Holy Spirit this morning, I'm still going to share. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Now, one of the things I learned was, like, when we were going to the synagogue, they would teach us a lot of fancy Jewish words. Like, me and Linda went to Hebrew class and actually got to learn Hebrew from an Israeli speaker. And so it was really cool. But so when we'd study there, we found out that there's some Hebrew words that when we read them in the English, it sounds one way, but when you really know what it means in the Hebrew, you understand what there's a deeper meaning to it, right? And so a disciple is a Talmudim. And so a Talmudim is a student, right? So literally, Jesus wasn't the only ones who had Talmudim or disciples. Like if you go to Gamaliel and Shammah and all these great rabbis of the past, they said, what line are you from, right? And Paul went from one of those lines too, right? And so, but which basically they're saying, what disciple are you of? And so, what are you a student of? So they would take these students, and these students would come with them, and they pretty much live with them, right? They'd watch how they walked. They'd watch how they talked. They watched everything they did, right? When you'd see the teacher, right? And then you look at the disciple, right? There was no difference in between them, right? Because they were totally, completely in sync. They had been with that master so much that they knew what he was going to say before he said it. And they walked off and something happened. They would know. They would say what they were taught to say because they knew. They were so entwined together that they reflected the master in everything they did. And that's what made them a disciple, right? And so that's what's the good news about Jesus. He said here, he's like, if you hold to my teachings, he's saying, if you walk with me, if you talk with me, if you allow me to move in you, in him, in who? In Jesus, we live and we move and we have our being. In him, we live and move and have our being. In him, you know who him is? Jesus, we live and move and have our doing. Our what? Our being, right? It comes through him being inside us. And it's not about our doings, it's about our being, right? He said, love the Lord God. This is Jesus said, like, hey, this is my teachings, right? He cut it down. Like he's like, we don't even need the Ten Commandments. He's like, we'll sum it up. And really, the Ten Commandments was just summed up in the two commandments that Jesus gave, which was kind of three, kind of sneakily three, because he said, you love the Lord your God, right? With all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Right? I think we call that the golden rule, isn't it? Yes. Right? Because you know what? Like the dollar used to be on a gold standard. Right? Because gold was the most valuable thing on the planet, right? At the time, right? Maybe not now. I think that it's horses, right? Put it on the horse standard, right? Or something else, right? We'll find something else to make it, right? But the fact is it was on the gold standard. That is the gold standard. And that's pretty powerful when you think about it, right? So it's in him, right? Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? Christ where? In me. In the hope is the hope of glory. Love the Lord, the I am that I am, your Elohim, your creator, your God, with all your lev, right? All your heart, all your inmost being, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, here's the problem with that. Most of us do. We love our neighbors just like we love ourselves. You know I'm right, because you all got neighbors. And you all are a neighbor. Ever see got these grouchy neighbors? They're just grouchy all the time. It's like, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? Why don't you mow your lawn better? Oh my gosh, you've got a little weed right there in the front of your rocks. We're going to have to fine you for this. Right? What's happening is when you see someone who's mean and they're angry and they're taking it out on you, the problem is it's probably how they love themselves. They're hurting. They're like mad at themselves. There's something going on inside. You ever hear the saying, hurt people hurt people? That's how we operate. So Jesus is like, hey, I ain't going to change the modus operandi. I just made that word up, I think. Did I? It don't exist. Yes, I need to trademark that. Right? Right? I don't even know what a modem is, but it sounds good, right? Hey, I'm a cowboy. I can make anything I want up, right? But that's already how we were created to operate, right? So he's like, I ain't going to make this hard on you. You're already doing that. You're already loving your neighbor like you're loving yourself. How about you allow me, because when you love him and put him first, and you do it with your heart, then you're surrendered in dependence of his grace, of his love, of his goodness. And now he can love the people through you. Right? There's a scripture that says, perfect love casts out all fear. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it tells you all these things that love is. But what's really cool is it says that God is love. When you get into science and some of the personal development stuff, they have like this chart of how there's like emotions that have certain frequencies with those emotions. Like you get it through music too. Music's a really powerful thing. And so that's why I love when God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not yours. They're way higher, right? Well, God is love. Well, the very highest frequency they say that you can ever accomplish is love. And you know what the very lowest two are? Shame and guilt. And one of the saddest things is when people start trying to find Jesus, is one of the things we try to do to bring him to love is we bury him in shame. And we bury him in guilt. And we expect them to rise up to this level. When we find out, maybe if we'd tell them, hey, you know what? Jesus, love, God, love, himself came and died on the cross for you. And he took your shame and your guilt and your rejection and your pain and everything that looked so hopeless. He took for you so that now you can live in his love. And that's why perfect love casts away all fear. There's no fear in love, right? You know someone loves you, you're not worried they're going to chop your head off. I mean, unless they love you to eat you. Like maybe you're on an island of cannibals or something. That might be different, right? That's a different kind of love, right? That's not the love I'm talking about. I'm talking about the love of the one who doesn't just love, but is love. So when he's saying, you shall love the I am that I am, your creator, he's saying, that's God. God is love. And when he's inside you, you can't help but love. Because you're allowing him to move. That's how we're created. We're created in love. That's our true identity. And that's in God. You can't separate God from love, and you can't separate love from God. You know what? You can't separate God from you because he loves you no matter what you've done, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing right now. He loves you. In fact, he loves you so much that he sent his son, his only son, and he died on a cross. And it says, as far as the east is from the west, he remembers your sins no more. And oh, by the way, that was said years before Jesus ever did it. He's like, he don't keep a record. Like, he ain't got a record. Oh, I messed up. I knew you were going to do that. I covered it. He's like, look, see, as far as the east is from the west. And he stretched out his hands. And that's where we get, you can love your neighbor as yourself. Then you, till you allow him to love you and allow yourself to be loved that way, you can't love your neighbor that way. Let me tell you something, a secret. That's why it says, judge not lest you be judged. Because when you're judging someone else, you're really judging yourself. Are we going to be dependent on him completely? So independence of him is fully independent of our self-work. We're not reliant on what we do. What we do is an effect of loving. And, you know, I love my wife. Like, something comes around. Like, it don't even have to be a holiday. Like, oh man, I just want to do something cool for her. I want to get her flowers or buy her a fishing pole. Okay, maybe I don't buy her a fishing pole. I don't even like to fish. So, but I'm just saying some of you guys who do, right? Some of you guys are buying yourselves a fishing pole and telling your wife because you know you ain't going to use it, right? But that's beside the point, right? But I want to get her flowers or something. I'm not doing that because, hey, honey, could you cook me something? Or, hey, honey, well, you know, I mean, some people may have motives, right? But that's not what I'm talking about. You're just so in love. You just, like they could ask you for anything. And you're like, you know what? Okay. And you just do it. It's almost like you ever, like you're not even walking on the ground. Right? Your honey looks at you, winks. Like, you got something in your eye? Oh, I know better. So you don't have to wink. And I melt. Then I start floating up. Like it's better than Red Bull, man. It gives you more than wings, right? Floating up. What do you want? What? How can I help you? Right? All I want to do is bring joy. That's what our relationship with God is. That's true freedom. Not about what we do, but about what He done. Are we going to trust Him? Or are we going to trust what we do? Religion says do. Grace says done. Jesus says done. Faith says done. We must believe that He exists, that He is, not going to be, or not was, but is right now. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Well, who is Him? He is love. He is peace. He is righteousness. And if you have that, everything else like will run to you. You'll be walking around like, I'm the most blessed human being on the planet. Like, nothing else matters. And then you find yourself walking in that, and everything starts working out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not yours, His, and all your stuff's going to be just fine. You'll be like a magnet, man. You'll be just walking around like, here's His blessing. Shame and guilt's like a magnet, too. And it brings you stuff that are like, that make you feel more shame and guilt. And it keeps you on a treadmill. And you'll get saved 1 week and baptized, and 2 months later you're getting saved again and baptized again. And then you're going to do it again and again and again, and you're going to be staying on that same cycle. There's a great preacher, they call him a great preacher, but they said that he used to preach a sinner in the hands of an angry God. And they said that he preached hell so hot that people would literally run to the altar and they would like be bawling and crying and repent of their sins. They get up and 2 weeks later, they're right back at the same thing. And some of them never wanted anything to do with God again. Because that is not who our God is. Straight up. That's not who He is. He's the God who gave His life. He's not mad. He's not mad at anybody. He's like, I get mad at people. Well, God will take care of them. Yeah? It's like, I love them just like I love you. You're just as stupid as they are, just in a different way. That's not that opposite thinking of, well, God, zap them. Remember the disciples yet? Who was that? The ones who went up on the Mount of Transfiguration? They're like, zap them. Just hit the nuke button, man. Wipe them out. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Who's your daddy? Who's your father? And that's what He's talking about right here. He said to the Jews had believed in Him, if you hold to My teachings, you're really My disciples. Then it says this. When you hold to what He says. Then, watch this. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth that you know will set you free. If you know that you're free, that truth is a truth, and it sets you free. If you know you're loved, that is a truth, and that sets you free from rejection and from shame and from guilt, because you know that it was taken care of by Jesus Himself. God Himself says, I'll pay the bill, boys. I got you covered. And then I ain't even going to remember I paid that bill. Because why? Because I am responsible for you. Now watch this. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" See, they're looking on the outside. And what they didn't realize was they were still slaves on the outside too. They were slaves to rules. They were slaves to trying to make themselves good enough for a holy and righteous God. And really, that was still the time of the sacrifices. Think about this. They could have depended on the sacrifices because every year, like more than once a year, they had Passover, they had Yom Kippur, they had sacrifices in the middle, right? Really, if they're going to be dependent on anything, they should be dependent on that. But no, it had to be dependent on what they did. And they're like, "We're Abraham's kids. We got this figured out." And Jesus is like, "Oh boy. How can anyone say that we will be set free?" And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." And they're like, they're not trying to sin. They don't even think they're sinning. They got so many loopholes that they think that nothing stinks. Their manure don't stink. They know that, right? They're completely dependent on themselves to be righteous, and they are slaves. That is a sin, by the way. Sin's missing the mark. That's just, in fact, it might be a worse sin than murder. Really, to be honest, though, under the law, you can't. There's no, whether you steal a pencil or kill 10 million people, you're guilty of everything. Sin's sin. And that's a sin. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell them. Hey, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it until he messes up again." For how long? How long's forever? Eternity. It's forever. Listen to this again. "But a son belongs to it forever." Remember, Paul's talking about the son of the slave woman, and the son of the free woman, right? And he's talking about, are you living from religion, or are you living from grace, from peace, from done? Are you living from doing, or are you living from done? Are you dependent on him? Well, are you dependent on yourself, or are you in dependence of his grace, his mercy, his blessings? Because you can count on him and count on what he's going to do. It says this, "But a son belongs to it forever." So if the son sets you free, you will be free. And that's all he had to say was, "You will be free." But he didn't stop there. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's two ways. It's like, not just free, but you're really free. When you're free indeed, you're like, man, you're rich. Woo, you're loaded. You're like, watch out, Bill Gates. Right? Watch out, Elon. And I love Elon. I think he's one of the coolest dudes on the planet. You know? Right? Oh, look at them. They are wealthy indeed, right? I look in the mirror. I'm like, wow, Pastor James, you are beautiful indeed, right? No one laughed. That's good. When he says indeed, he means you're really free. You are free, but not just free. You're really, 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 really free. You have no idea how free you are. And if you ever do, you will change the world. But it just isn't free indeed. I think there's always a play in the word, and I don't think there's no coincidences, even in translations that may not be like what we all want. Because it says free indeed. If you're free, really, really free, then you're going to be free in your deeds. You're going to be free to move. You're going to be free to live. You're going to be free to have your being. And your doing will not reflect you, but it will reflect Him. Because it's Him living through you. And really, it's you too. Because you're one with Him. You're created to love. That's your true nature. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. It's a gauge, man. We're in the Spirit. That's our real self. Not the flesh. The opposite of that is walking in the flesh. You getting mad at someone? It's a gauge. Oh, wait a second. What if this is working for my good? What if it's good that this is happening because it's showing me what I don't want in my life? Everything's working for me because it's a finished work. And He's that good. Amen? Amen. I know you're Abraham's descendant, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do the things Abraham did. Do you know what they're saying? So I said, if you were my disciples, right up at the very front, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Because you see the Father, but you don't see the Father, right? Just as you've heard about Him or you hear He's coming back, but you know Him intimately. And that's powerful. What's He telling them? He's like, hey, don't be religious. Don't try to save yourself. Because the Father of that is not my Father. That's hard preaching. But that's Jesus preaching. A lot of people wouldn't like Jesus nowadays, by the way. He'd get kicked out of a ton of churches today, too. A ton of religions and a ton of secular stuff. They wouldn't like what He said. But they love who He is. It's easy to depend on our flesh. But are you going to trust Him? Your choice. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being there for us always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.